Shira Daf Chaf Hey, and we will begin on the second line, at the end of the second line, Karf Yosem Beis Lassayim. As we have been learning, if a karfif is larger than two beis saw, and it's not hukaf ladira, it wasn't enclosed for residential purposes, the halacha is you're not allowed to carry in that karfif. So our Gemara now will discuss two possible ways of making it mutter to carry in such an area. One way is by reducing the size of the karfif. Another way is that if you decide to use this area, ladira, for residential purposes, it's not just adequate, obviously, to make that mental designation. Rather, what's required is that a person do something, has a new hekif, makes a new enclosure, l'shem dira. Begins the Gemara. Karfif yosem beis asayim. You have a karfif which is larger than beis asayim, shloi hukaf l'tira, and wasn't enclosed for residential purposes, and therefore you can't carry in that area. Or bala matoi, and now you want to reduce that area. Umiata be'ilonis. So what you do is he tries to plant trees. Lo yhavamiyat. That will not be considered a legitimate reduction. Since trees belong in karfifs, that's then, as we've been learning, they can't serve as reduction of the area. And the Rashba says, the same halacha will be regarding a bar. If somebody will make a pit in the karfif, it also won't reduce the area. There's a Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that a bar, and the Miri agrees with Tosfos, that a bar may reduce the area of the karfif. However, Barnaba Omid Gvaya Sarva Rachav Dalet, if ever he built a pillar which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, that is not something which is naturally in the karfif, and therefore have a meat. It will serve as a reduction. And now, if there's less than a base of sayim, carrying will be permitted. This is a picture that's shown on page 49, the bottom diagram 47. Pach megimel. But if this pillar is less than 3 tefachim wide, lo have a meat. It's not considered significant enough that it should be considered an independent area that can reduce the karfif. Megimel v'dalet. Let's say it's between 3 and 4 tefachim wide, is a machlokes. Rav Amar have a meat, it can't serve as a reduction. Rav Amar lo have a meat, and Rav says it's not a reduction. Rav Amar have a meat, Rav says it's a reduction. There are enough lamitaris love it, since it's wider than 3 tefachim, so it's a wide enough distance. It would be so wide that we cannot say love it under such circumstances. So that's why it's considered a distinct, separate area. Rav Amar lo have a meat. Rav said it's not a meat. Kiven the lo have a makam dalet. Since it doesn't take off 4 tefachim, lo chashiv, it's not significant and it can't serve as a reduction. There's an interesting shas and tshuvas marsham based on this gemara. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Mezuzah says that for room to be mechuyev in mezuzah, it has to be dalet al dalet. It has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if a room has stationary furniture, it can reduce the size of the room. What is the size of the furniture? Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's if it's these dimensions. If it's 4 wide and 10 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high. Where does the Shulchan Aruch get that number? Says the Marsham from our Gemara. Since we see in our Gemara that this is considered a significant independent area, so too it will have that halach regarding Hilchas Mezuzah, that it can reduce the area of the room that may no longer be Dalet al Dalet. Although, even though we're not learning Hilchas Mezuzah today, there is a Chamudi Daniel quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, who says that even if a room is less than Dalet al Dalet, but if it serves its purpose, even though it's smaller, then we should put on a mezuzah at least without a bracha. Now, the Gemara will speak about another way of changing the status of a karfif. And that is if originally the partitions, the mechitza, was built shloi l'shem dira, not for residential purposes, and now they decided to make it for residential purposes, but they know they have to make a new wall with the intention that it should be used for residential purposes. So we have the existing wall, as is indicated in diagram 148, and hirchik min hakoyis adalid. If somebody moved 4 tefachim away from the old wall, v'asa mechitza, and made a new mechitza. Now there's a very interesting machloikas rishonim. What are the dimensions of the new wall? The Ritva says that the new wall has to take up the whole length of the old wall, as is shown actually in this picture. The Rosh, however, says that 4 tefachim is enough. And the Meiri says that the Rosh says it's a 10 tefachim, and the Meiri says 4 tefachim is enough. Migimel v'adalad, what happens if there's a distance of between 3 and 4 tefachim between the old wall and the new wall? Rav Amahoyel, Rav says it works. Rav Amahoyel, Rav says it doesn't work. Rav Amahoyel, Rav says it works. Don't nafik le mitaris lovet. Since it's more than 3 tefachim, there's no issue of lovet. Rav Amahoyel, Rav says it doesn't work. Kim do have a makom dalet, since there isn't 4 tefachim between the old wall and the new wall, like chashiv, it's not considered significant. And that there's an interesting shaila that the Rishonim asked. The Rishonim asked that we learned on Daf Tez Zayin that regarding Klayim, Rav said a wall of 3 tefachim is enough. Because once it's a separation of 3 tefachim is enough, since it's significant, it's past the area of Lovid. So asked Ritva, why by Klayim the Rabbis say that if it's more than 3 tefachim, it's enough? And here he requires 4 tefachim. So the Ritva answers, there we're not dealing with a situation where the area has been established to have an Isser. So therefore, Rava says, once it's more than 3 tefachim, it's enough. On the other hand, says Ritva, here we already established that this kafif, it's usur to carry in. Once we established that it's usur to carry in this kafif, we now want to give it a heter. To make a place that was usur, now mutter, we need to have at least 4 tefachim separation that will show achshivas. Says the Gemara, Rav Simi masni l'kula. Rav Simi learned this machlokas l'kula. So the way Rashi explains Rav Simi is like this. We learned till now that below 3 tefachim everybody will agree it wouldn't work, whether it's the pillar or whether it's the distance between the walls. More than 4 tefachim everybody will agree will be fine. Between 3 and 4 is machlokes. Says Rav Simi, the way to learn now is like this. Between 3 and 4, everybody will learn is fine. And the machlokes will be when is only 3 tefachim. Is it when it's only 3 tefachim too little? Or since it's in a separate area, albeit that it's less than 3 tefachim, and it's a separate wall, albeit it's so close to the old wall, the halacha will be that Rava will say it's good, and there Rava will say it's not good. But once it's 3 tefachim, there's no machloikis that everybody will hold that it's fine. Now the Gemara discusses another way of reducing the size of the kafif. Toch by tit, if somebody smears plaster on the kafif's wall, and now because they have this extra layer of plaster, we now have an area that's less than base osayim. And the question is, will that serve as reduction of the base osayim? So the Gaon Yaakov says,
and the Bria Halacha paskins this way, that the entire discussion is only after, is only that the wall is already in existence. And I'm using this plaster as a method of reduction, of reducing the base of Sayim. So now, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, sometimes it'll work, and sometimes if it won't work. But if somebody is, if the wall was constructed at the beginning as a thick wall with heavy layers of plaster on it, of course that wall, since it was constructed from the beginning that way, will serve as a reduction of the kafif. Also, the Bi'ah Halacha says that when we're talking about putting plaster on the wall, we don't have to put plaster on the entire wall. What we have to put is an area of 3 tefachim wide by 10 tefachim high. Because the Bi'ah Halacha says that we use the same dimensions that we used for the pillar at the beginning of today's shiur for the mount of plaster. So now we're talking about that the wall was erected, as we explained, as the Bi'ah Halacha says, and now you want to put plaster on it to serve as a way of reducing the size of the base of Sayim. So the question is, can we or can't we use this tit as a reducer? If yochalam efnei atzmai, if the plaster could stand on its own, have a miut, then it can serve as a reduction. Any yochalam efnei atzmai, if it can't stand on its own, Rava Vahavamid, Rava says anyway it will be considered a reduction, and Rava Malavamid, Rava says it won't be a reduction. Rava Vahavamid, Rava says it will still serve as a reduction. Hashtamir Koy, right now it's there, it doesn't make a difference if it can't or can't stand on its own. Rava Malavamid, but Rava says if it can't stand on its own, it's not a reduction, Kim de la Yochel Mekim Bifnei Atzmai, since it can't stand on its own, Loyab Laf Klumhu, it's meaningless. However, the Gaon Yaakov does say that if it's obvious that the person put on this plaster not just to be a reducer, he put on the plaster because he wants to change the door, he wants to make the door nicer, let's say he put on a piece of molding, it's a thin piece of wood, but he obviously he's doing it because the doorway requires that molding, then everybody will agree that it can't serve as a reducer, even though any yochalam efnei atzmai, it can't stand by itself. Now we have another shaila, as is shown in diagram 149. Hechek minatel dalet. If somebody, if at one side of the karfif didn't have a wall, what it had as a partition was a mound. And he now went dalet tefachim away from that partition, which wasn't made l'shem dira, v'asa mechitza. And he made a new partition. So everybody will agree that hoil it works. Because we now have a new partition when made l'shem dira. The question is, pachas migimel. If there's less than 3 tefachim between the partition and the mound, oy asfas hatel, or if he built the wall actually on the partition, as is shown in picture 150. Now is the shaila. The machloek charam ahoil. One man says the Rav Chizkiya Rav Hamnuna. The machloek is Rav Chizkiya Rav Hamnuna. Charam ahoil. One says that this is going to be effective. The charam ahoil, and one says it won't be effective. And the Ritva says that if he's making a partition on the Sfas HaTel, certainly it has to have some effect for the people on the tel. Because if it won't have any effect for the people on the tel, then certainly it won't work, because it's a meaningless mechitza. Says the Gemara, we now had a machlokes of Chizkiya Rav Hamnuna if this will help. We didn't know which man the Omer holds which way. Says the Gemara Tastayim, I'll bring you a proof that Rav Chizkiya Omer hoil. Rav Chizkiya the one, the man the Omer that says it works. Ditma. Because we learned. Ha'ois mechitza gav mechitza. If somebody makes one mechitza on the top of another mechitza, Omer Rav Chizkiya says, b'Shabbos hoil. Regarding Hilchos Shabbos, and we'll see what that means, regarding Hilchos Shabbos means regarding making a karfif, hoil, it'll work. But nechse ger, like Connor.
regarding the nechasim of a ger. So let's explain this for a moment. The halach is that when somebody dies, there are hilchas yerusha. There are laws of inheritance who inherits the person that died. Every Jew has a relative. So ultimately, he will have somebody to inherit him. The only Jew who may not have any relatives is a person who's a ger. As we know, gershin is gayer kikotin shenoy ladomi. When he's considered completely newborn, none of his relatives are considered his relatives. And if he dies with any children, his estate is hefker. And the first person who makes a kinyan in that estate, he is the person that will now own that estate. So says Rav Chisda, I agree that making a mechitza on top of an existing mechitza will not be considered an effective means of kinyan, even though the Gemara Masechet Baba Basra says, Godar, if somebody makes a fence around an area, it is considered a kinyan chazaka. That's only, says the Gemara, where you made a fence in an area that didn't have a fence. So what you did accomplished something. However, building mechitza, gaba mechitza, what you did didn't really accomplish anything, and that's why Lakana will not serve as a matter of kinyan in the Nechse Eger. Even regarding Shabbos mechitza, gaba mechitza, Lakana. So now, when we speak about making this mechitza on top of the tel, which is a situation of a mechitza gaba mechitza, as is shown in picture 150, we now know that who's the one that's going to say it works, Rav Chisda. Testaim has been proven. However, the Ritva points out, and the Sharatzin quotes this Ritva, that if the first mechitza was less than 10 tefachim high, says the Ritva, everybody will agree that there a mechitza gaba mechitza works. And Ritva explains, what's the whole reason that a mechitza gaba mechitza doesn't work? Is because I didn't accomplish anything. I already had a mechitza here. But that's only when the first mechitza was a halachically valid mechitza. However, if the first mechitza was not a valid mechitza halachically, why? Because it was less than 10 tefachim high, everybody will agree that that works. Amar Rav Chisda, however, Rav Chisda says, Umoideli Rav Sheshes will agree, Shemachasa mechitza ala tel, if the new mechitza that was made on top of the tel, which is shown in picture 151, Shehoil, then that is an effective mechitza. My tama, why? Hoil ba'ava mechitza sal yonus adar, since the people on top of the tel have a real use from these mechitzas, so therefore they're effective, they're completely effective, and everybody will agree, even Rav Sheshes, that this will not be considered a mechitza, a gaba mechitza, it will be effective. By Rabbi Bachana. So now Rabbi Bachana asked the following question. Now there's one bechleikis that we should just mention. When we say that a mechitza on top of the tel, everybody agrees is effective, how many mechitzas have to be made on top of the tel? Dritva says that one mechitza is enough. Since one mechitza, which is an effective mechitza, was made, albeit that the area on top of the tel has not been completely enclosed, that doesn't make a difference. I made a good mechitza. If I make a good mechitza that works on top, it will mamela work on the bottom. However, there's a deek in Rashi, and so do other Rishonim learn, that you have to make mechitzas on top of the entire tel to make it a totally enclosed area. And then I'll say that since the top area is totally enclosed, it will also be effective for the bottom. The Rosh takes the sheet of the Ritva and goes one step further. The Rosh says that not only is one mechitza on top of the tail enough, like the Rosh said earlier in our shir, that one mechitza doesn't have to even cover the entire side of the tel. As long as that one mechitza is more than 10 amos, as we learned earlier in the shir, the Rosh says that any mechitza that's longer than 10 amos is considered an effective mechitza and is adequate. By Rabbi Bachana. So Rabbi Bachana asked the following question. Nivla mechitzas hatachtoinis v'alyonis kiyamas ma'hu. If the lower mechitzas sank into the ground, and now you're left only with the upper mechitzas, in the case that you built mechitzah and gabba mechitzah. So what was our reason? What's Pshat in the Gemara's question? What was our reason that mechitzah al gabba mechitzah doesn't work? Because you didn't accomplish anything. Because you already had a halachically valid mechitzah. But here, your first mechitzah sunk in. So now it no longer is there. So since it's no longer there, what you did, there's accomplished something. And perhaps, asked Rabbi Bachana, now it's going to be considered an effective mechitza. Now, the Ritva, and based on what we... Now the question is, Machloikus Rashi Ritva, how much sunk in to the ground? The Ritva, as we said before, will learn that you don't have to have that the entire original mechitza sinks into the ground. All you need is that so much of the original mechitza sinks into the ground that it no longer is 10 tefachim high. And as we said, once you don't have a 10 tefachim high mechitza, you don't have a halachically valid mechitza, and that a second mechitza is accomplishing something. And that's why Rabbi Bachan is asking, perhaps now it will be considered that you made a mechitza. Rashi, on the other hand, learns Pshat in the Gemara that the entire first mechitza sunk in. And only then is the Gemara's question of a mechitza on mechitza effective or not. Not like the Ritva, that only enough fell in that you don't have 10 tefachim alone. Lamai, ask the Gemara, what's your question where you want a mechitza, a gal mechitza to be effective? Ili nechser ger, if it's regarding making a kinyan, and then nechser ger, says Gemara, Hani the Yimer Berah. This was already passed by Yimer Berah. Domer Yimer Berah, Om Rav Yehuda. Hai man the shoda lifta apila the ar the ger. Somebody threw in a turnip into the crack of the ground belonging to a ger. In that way, he assumed they would make a kinyan. And the Rishonim point out, the Ritva points out, why dafka a turnip? Because a turnip is something that grows, takes root, and grows very quickly. And then a second Jew came, Rakabapurta, and he actually dug in the ground of the ger. Daloch is Basra Kana, Kamalai Kana. The second person considered to do a valid kinyan, not the first one. My Tama, why? Be'edid the Shada, Lekashavach. At the time he threw the turnip into the ground, he didn't do anything, he didn't improve in the ground. When the property ultimately improves, when the turnip actually grows, it comes by itself, not as a direct result of his action. However, Dushash does point out that the halacha will be that, let's say somebody planted, which we're saying is not necessarily the most effective way of making a kinyan b'nechse hager, and then another person planted. There the halacha will be, if the first person's vegetable takes root first, then he will be the kaina. Here the reason the second person was kaina is because he did an effective kinyan and the second one didn't. Vela in Shabbos. Regarding where did Rabbi Bachana ask his shayla, his shayla was regarding the enclosure of a karfif. Have a mechitza nasa b'Shabbos. This certainly should work. This should be considered a mechitza which was erected on Shabbos. And we know, with Tanya, we learned the Braisa, call mechitza nasa b'Shabbos, a mechitza that comes into being on Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference if it was done b'shogeg, b'meizid. Shema mechitza is considered a valid mechitza. So here too, even though the new mechitza began functioning only on Shabbos, it's considered a valid mechitza, and the kafif is considered hukif ladira. Ask the Gemara, La Vitma La, didn't we learn regarding that Braisa? Om Rav Nachman Lo Shon El Izrik. The when is the halach that a mechitza that's created in Shabbos is considered mechitza? So as we always explain this Gemara, L'chumra, that I have an area in Rishus Rabbim that gets enclosed on Shabbos by mechitza by itself, and now somebody throws from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into that enclosed area, he'll be chayiv for taking from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Avla Talta, to be able to carry in that area itself on Shabbos, Osir. That's Osir. We can't say a mechitza was created in Shabbos with a avera of creating a mechitza should be considered a mechitza. And says the Gemara, Kietman, the Rav Nachman, when the Rav Nachman say that a mechitza that's created in Shabbos is only mechitza l'chumra, not l'kula, that's when I'm mezid it. If somebody b'mezid went and built a mechitza, here the person didn't build a mechitza b'mezid, it happened by itself that the lower mechitzas sunk into the ground, and therefore the halacha will be that is considered a valid mechitza even l'kula. Says the Gemara. The Gemara just speaks about a moment regarding a kinya b'nechse hager. Hahi itzad of the mechitza gav mechitza b'nechse hager. A woman built one mechitza on top of another mechitza as a way of making a kinyan and nechse hager. Also, who gaver, and a second person came, rough of a person, and he just dug in the ground, which we know is a valid maisa kinyan. Also, kameder of Nachman, and he came to Rav Nachman, and asked Rav Nachman if the nechse hager belonged to him now. Okman b'yodei. So Rav Nachman said that it's his. Also, he, the katzof kamei. So this woman came screaming to Rav Nachman that she did something first. Amala, my everlock. So Rav Nachman said, I can't help you. You did not make a proper kinyan. Making a mechitza, gaba mechitza, as we just learned, is not considered a maisa kinyan, because you didn't really accomplish anything, and therefore, your kinyan is not a kinyan, and the second person is the person that will get the nechse hager. Continues the Gemara. Kafaf beis shalosh, v'kira beisa. We have a kafaf of three beisa, which as we've been saying, you're not allowed to carry, if it's not hukuf l'dira. Because only base saw is mutter, and this is indicated in diagram 152. Bekir of a base saw, and you go and you make a roof over a base saw of that area. Rav Amar Avik Kiri of Miasrin. Rav says the covered space is still considered part of the base, still considered part of the kafif, and it's too large. Rav Zera says that the covered space does not combine with the rest of the karfif. Why? Because he considers the covered space a separate area, because as we're going to learn in a minute, he holds Pitik Riyarvitsaisa. As the Gemara, Lema Rav Rav Zera, should we say that the Machlokes Rav Rav Zera, if this covered area is considered separate and distinct, is the machloikus machloikus ravishmu kamifuki. Ditma. Achsadir babika. If we have a pavilion in an open field, as is shown in picture 153, Rav Amamutal Tatbakula, you could carry an entire area under the roof. Why? Because I say, P tikra yar v'saisim, as we'll learn. V'shmul ama ema tatan al b'dal amas, not allowed to carry in this area. Rav ama mutal tatan b'kula, allowed to carry in the entire area. Amirin p tikra yar v'saisim. V'shmul ama ema tatan al b'dal amas, you're only allowed to carry within dal amas of the earth, because lo amirin p tikra yar v'saisim, we don't say as if the sides of the roof extend downward and seal the area and separate it. So what I want to say, the same machlokes will be here. In our picture 152, do I say Pitik Riyar V'Saisa? Now there's a very fundamental question which the Rishonim ask. Tosfos asks it here, and Rashi asks it on Daf Tzadik Dalet. We know that Pitik Riyar V'Saisa, this concept, is a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. So they ask, how could Rav and Shmuel debate if it's effective? Of course it's effective. It's a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai that it's effective. So the way Rashi in Daf Tzadik Dalet explains the Gemara, that Shmuel says that in order for the halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai a pitikra v'yar v'soysim to work, you need to have at least one wall. Then on the other walls, Shmuel says, I'll say pitikra v'yar v'soysim. And Rav says that even if I don't have any walls, I could say pitikra v'yar v'soysim. In the situation of Al Gemara, both in diagram 152 and in diagram 153, there are no walls at all around this pavilion, and that's why Shmuel, and the Gemara wants to say by extension Rav, will hold that we don't say Pitikra Yar V'Soysim in such a situation. However, the Gemara wants to say that the Machloikis of Rav and Rav Zera is not the same as the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel.
Because says the Gemara, "I David beik chesedra." If the situation was that there was a flat roof, hachinami, that everybody would agree that we would say pi tikkur yarev esayis in such a situation. Hachamai skidin. What is the situation here? Davdina David by Kerzila. The roof is built like the roof of a shed, as is shown in diagram 154. The roof is a slanty roof. In order to say Pitikur Yarev Esayisim, we have to have a flat roof and then the sides go down. However, when we have a slanty roof, we don't say Pitikur Yarev Esayisim. There's a very interesting point the Mishnah Berurah makes. The Mishnah Berurah says that in Hilchus Rishuyus, that Shulchan Aruch paskins, that in order to say Pi Tikkur Yarev Esayisim, you have to have a flat roof. However, when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about a kafif, the Shulchan Aruch says that even if the roof is slanty, we'll still say Pi Tikkur Yarev Esayisim. Ask the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch obviously holds that we only say Pi Tikkur Yarev Esayisim on a flat roof. So how could the Shulchan Aruch say that by kafif, that with a slanty roof, we'll also say Pitikur Avisoysim? So Mr. Brewer explains as follows. He says that where you have an area which is really a Rishus Harabim, and you want to rely on Pitikur Yarvisoysim to consider the area under the roof to be a Rishus HaYachid, you want to turn a Rishus Harabim, or area at least open to Rishus Harabim, to Rishus HaYachid, there you have to have flat roof to say Pi Tikkur Yarev Esayisim. Here we're dealing with a karfif. The karfif is completely enclosed. Midaraisa to Rishus HaYachid. Just Chazal made the gzera, as we've been learning, that you're not allowed to carry in this area. Here we don't have to have such a strong Pi Tikkur Yarev Esayisim, and therefore even a Pi Tikkur on a slanty roof will be acceptable. Amar Rav Zeira says, I agree regarding a kafif, which is exactly two base saw that is open to a chatzar, as shown in diagram 155. Sha'asr, that it's also to carry in the kafif. My tama, what's the reason? Because of the space of the chatzar combines with the area of the kafif to make it larger than two base saw. And now carrying is prohibited. Since we started with a kafif, there was exactly two base saw. Now when it got breached and opened to the chatzar, so it's larger than the two base saw that's mutter, and therefore you can't carry in the kafif. And as the Rishonim point out, there are two issues that are going to come up in understanding this sugya. One will be the issue of, is the kafif now considered larger than a base saw, and if it's not hukaf ladir, you're not allowed to carry in it? And the other issue will the kafif affect the chatzar that you can't even carry in the chatzar either? Maskla Rav Yosef, ask Rav Yosef, I don't understand. V'chi ava hamutaloi, can a space that's permitted asroi, before, explains the explanation is like this. Before the kafif was exposed this way to the chatzar, the halach is that you were allowed to carry in the kafif because it was less than base asayim. You were allowed to carry in the chatzar because the chatzar certainly has no space limitation. So now, because they became open to each other, so the kafif becomes asur. Amle Abaye. So Abaye makes an observation. Come on, obviously, according to whom is this question a valid question? Rav Shimon. Because as I explained earlier, there's machloikis rabbanan and Rav Shimon. If you're allowed to carry from a gag to a chatzar to a kafif, from these different types of outdoor public rishus hayachatz, the rabbanan say that each area is distinct and you can't carry from a chatzar to a kafif. Rav Shimon says you can't carry from a chatzar to a kafif or kafif to a chatzar. Obviously, if Rav Yosef is asking that the avir of the chatzar was avir that was mutter in the kafif, why is he asking that question? Because he obviously holds like Rav Shimon that you're allowed to carry from a kafif to a chatzar. Rav Shimon nami. But even according to Rav Shimon, we have now the space of the partitions which are now uncovered. This area becomes added to the kafif, and now we have
a tafel which is larger than a besah, which is shown in diagram 157. In diagram 157, we show these two yellow lines. The area between the two yellow lines was the area where we originally had the wall of the kafif. This area, this wall now fell down. Before this wall fell down, the kafif was exactly based on Sayyim. But now that the wall fell down, so now the kafif, if you combine the base of Sayyim of the kafif with this area where the wall originally was, is now yes in the base of Sayyim. So even according to Reb Shimon, Reb Zeira's halacha, where we'll say you're not allowed to carry in a kafif whose wall was fell down, is a valid halacha. If a kafif was breached in its entirety to a chatzar, as in picture 155, chatzar mutaris for kafif asif. It's mutter to carry in the chatzar, and it's also to carry in the kafif. And the Gemara now analyzes Rav Chista's psak. Chatzar my tama. Why is it permitted to carry in the chatzar? This like gefufe, because it still has walls on each side of the breach. Since the wall are set, and these walls are visible from the inside from the chatzar, so it's considered closed. It's considered that the chatzar is closed. However, since from inside the kafif, the wall segments are not visible, so now we have the fourth side of the kafif completely open to the chatzar, and therefore, as far as the kafif is concerned, it's considered unenclosed. It's open to the chatzar, which is forbidden to it. Now we have to say that Rav Chisda's psak is going according to Rabbanim, the Rishonim point out. Because even if I say, as is shown in picture 155, that the kafif is completely open to the chatzar, it should still not be a problem if you're allowed to carry from the kafif to the chatzar, as Rav Shimon says. If the Gemara is saying now that if the kafif is also to the chatzar, but the chatzar is not completely open to the kafif, it's mutter to carry in the chatzar and also to carry in the kafif, it must be because the Gemara holds that you're not allowed to carry from a kafif to the chatzar. Who says that? The Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, but how could you explain Rav Chisda this way? Maybe just the opposite would have happened, as is shown in picture 158, where it opens up with a gefufe are on the kafif side and not on the chatzar side. And the kafif retains the segments, not the chatzar. Why would Rav Chisda give a psak where it says it's us to carry the kafif rather than it's us in the chatzar? So that's obviously not pshat in Rav Chisda. In such a case, the halacha would be, as in picture 158, that the kafif would be mutter and the chatzar would be asr. So, if the basis of Rav Chisda's ruling is that one area is considered completely open to the other, but not vice versa, he could have just as well stated the ruling the other way around. There's no reason for him to speak more of the case with a picture 155 more than picture 156. Ella, what do we say? Ze ave chitz miyasroi. Rather, Rav Chisda's ruling must have been, because we say in the case where the extra space is joined to the kafif, since the space of the walls, as in picture 157, which we explained earlier, now makes it larger than the base saw, therefore, it's also to carry in the kafif. In the case where extra space is joined to the chatzar, the space of the walls doesn't have any effect in the chatzar, because in the chatzar there's no rule regarding size. And therefore, in this case, since it's completely open to the chatzar, here there is a difference on which side it's open. Because if it's open, as is shown in picture 157, so now that the kafif is completely open to the chatzar, I say that the entire wall that fell down, that entire area, combines with the area of the kafif, and then the halacha will be that you're not allowed to carry this kafif. However, if we had, as in picture 156, where the wall between the chatzar and the kafif fell down, and even if I combine that area of the wall to the kafif, I would now have an area larger than the base of Sayyim. Since I have gefufe left on the sides of the kafif, I have these wall segments on the sides of the kafif. That area doesn't combine with the kafif. That's why Rechizda, says the Gemara, specifically spoke about a picture like 155 or a picture like 157 versus picture 156, where his halacha would not be relevant. Says the Gemara. We're going to explain this Gemara the way the Ritva explains this Gemara. There was an orchard that was near the wall of a mansion, as is shown on diagram 158. Now, the way the Ritva explains the Gemara is that this orchard is a kafif yoisim based sign. You're not allowed to carry. When the first three walls, which are actually shown in the picture, were erected, they were not erected l'shem dira. However, when the wall of this mansion was erected, it was erected l'shem dira of the kafif, to serve, to make the kafif a residential area. So now, because of that wall, I'm allowed to carry in the kafif. And now that wall collapsed. Sover of Bibi Lameima, Nafleshi Bereisa Daftanda. The wall of the mansion, which was the wall on which we were relying to be able to carry in the orchard, collapsed. Sover Bibi Lameima, so Bibi wanted to say, Lismacha Gudda Gav Yaisa, that we could rely on the inner walls of the mansion. Because this inner wall was constructed for the mansion, and he wanted to say it should also serve as a wall of hukif ladira for the orchard. Amalei Rapapi, so Rapapi said to Rabibi, Mishum da Asim Meloi, because you came from a family that's cut, people who live short, Amrisa Milum Laisa, you're saying words that are cut, they're incorrect. What does that mean? So the Rashi explains, we know that the Mishpacha Abeis Eli of Eli HaKoyin was cursed that they should die young. And Rapapi was saying to Rabibi, you come from that family, and therefore you're saying that kind of cut words, not sensible word. Hanach Mechitzis, the walls of the mansion, Legavoyu Vidin, they were made for inside of the house. Levroy Lo Vidin, they're not made for the outside, and since they weren't made for the outside, you can't rely on those walls. Now the Rashba makes a point that when the wall that fell down that was saying affects the paradis, it doesn't affect the house. However, when won't affect the house? If there's something left of the wall and the breach is not more than ten tefachim. Because if there's nothing left over and the breach is wider than 10 tefachim, it will be open to the kafif. And since you're not allowed to carry from the kafif to the house, we have the halacha that we've mentioned many times, that when one area is open to another area from which you're not allowed to carry, it's us to carry even in that independent area, and therefore you wouldn't be even allowed to carry in the house. Now the Shlom makes a very important, very nice, important observation. He says he doesn't understand Rav Papi. How do you speak to Rabibi this way? To tell him, because you come from the family of Eli, you say words that don't make sense. How does one speak that way? So the Shalah says like this. The Gemara in Masecht Rosh Hashanah says that regarding Beis Eli, Bezevich u'mincha lo yuchuper, just the Pasuk tells them, if you'll bring Kabbonis, it won't help you. What will help you? B'toyro g'mil chsodim. And the Gemara Taka quotes that Rav and Abaya were from the family of Eli, and one learned Torah and he lived to 40, and one learned Torah and did Chesed, and that's why he lived to 60. Says the Shlomo, that's what Rav Papi was telling Rabibi. You come from the family of Eli. You have to be concerned about your Arichas Yomin. You have to be concerned about your life. Why will you be Zoicha, given that you're from the family of Eli, to an Arichas Yomin? By saying Torah. But what kind of Torah will it work? The Torah that's emes a Torah. Don't say Torah that's not correct. That won't help you. And we want you to have Arichas Yomin.